Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Thursday, February 7th. Nope, today is Thursday, February 8th, 2024. And this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 2 in Bill's story, the first full paragraph, beginning with, I took a night law course, ending with, constructions of philosophic thought were so derived. We are reading and commenting on just one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Lois P., who will be reading the text, Kara L., reading page 164, Sherry Z. is our backup reader today. Our newcomer greeter is Sherry M., and announcements will be Leslie M. The reference ID number for yesterday, Wednesday, February 7th, 2024, is 21,112, or 21112, and today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,115, or 21115. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Lisa W. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. Thank you, Stephanie. I am Lisa W. from California, compulsive overeater in recovery. These are the 12 steps of OA. One, we admitted that we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of Him or to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa W., and thank you for braving the crazy phone issues that sometimes pop up. We appreciate your effort. All right, next I will ask Patty F. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Hi, this is Patty F. from Massachusetts, the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, Gary's message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, and every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Patty F. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we please ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press *1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 2 in Bill's story. We're going to read the first full paragraph beginning with, I took a night law course, ending with, constructions of philosophic thought were so derived. We are reading and commenting on just one paragraph this morning, and I will now ask Lois P. to please begin reading.
Thank you, Stephanie. Good morning, everyone. Lois P. here, gratefully recovered in New York. I took a night law course and obtained employment as investigator for a surety company. The drive for success was on. I'd proved to the world I was important. My work took me about Wall Street, and little by little I became interested in the market. Many people lost money, but some became very rich. Why not I? I studied economics and business as well as law. Potential alcoholic that I was, I nearly failed my law course. At one of the finals, I was too drunk to think or write. Though my drinking was not yet continuous, it disturbed my wife. We had long talks when I would still her forebodings by telling her that men of genius conceive their best projects when drunk, that the most majestic constructions of philosophic thought were so derived. I am so much in this paragraph, you know, because from being a very small overweight child and continuing on being overweight and fat, I had to prove to myself, to my parents, to the world, that I was special, because I was special in a negative way. You know, I could see the difference between myself and other people. You know, Bill was already knowing that he there was something going on with him and his drinking, but he didn't want to pay attention to it. He couldn't, because he was too busy having to prove himself that beyond this addiction that he hasn't recognized yet, that there was something in him that had to prove himself. And this is the way I've been my entire life, that whenever I engaged in anything, I had to be the best. Whether it was, you know, in my early grades, I had to have A's. If I was on a debating team, I had to be the captain. If I was on the, the yearbook, I had to be the copy editor, pep club president. I mean, you name it, but it was all coming from a place of I can do this because I can't do the other thing. I can't get thin. I can't be like normal people. So I was always an overachiever. Interested in Wall Street? Absolutely. Even during my marriage, I studied as a day trader, you know, so for 2 years, you know, I was day trading in my robe and slippers, thinking that somehow becoming richer or becoming more financially successful would prove to myself that I had value and worth. And yeah, as Bill is rationalizing to his wife, not to worry, you know, great minds really think of the greatest thoughts when they're drunk. Again, he's on some level desperately trying to push aside what he knows is wrong and trying to focus on achieving in the world his sense of worth. And I spent my entire life doing that, to the point when even throughout my marriage, you know, I became appointed in the county government. I mean, I was doing everything I could to show myself and other people that being fat was irrelevant, that I was great and a super achiever, and you should love me no matter what. So I totally get it. I get Bill in this paragraph. He's in denial. I'm in denial at that point. And it's taken me a long time, and thank God for vision and for this book to open my eyes to what the truth is about who I really am and what was really missing in my life and where my true value comes from. So thank you, and I'll pass with that.
Well, thank you so much, Lois P. And we are now going to open the meeting up for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. If you share it on Tuesday or Wednesday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow for as many people as possible to share. There's lots of people online. I'll remind you with the timer when your time is up. When you hear the timer, please finish up promptly. We appreciate that. So now I'd like to get a list of names of people that would like to share. If you give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Kara L.
Roz G. Kara L. I heard Roz G.
Jan L. Florida.
Jan L. Is that?
Yes, Florida.
Okay, got you, Jan.
Barbara A., California.
Gotcha, Barbara.
Diane H., Alabama.
I got you, Diane H. Did I miss someone in the beginning? There was kind of a backup there. All right, anyone else want to get in on this first lineup? All right, I've got Kara L., Roz G., Jan L., Barbara A., and Diane H. And Kara L., you're up first, followed by Roz G.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, my fellows. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. I have written by this paragraph justifications. I also have written the first victim of the first victim here is the truth. Right? First victim of the disease is the truth, which I'm sure I heard from another fellow. And it reminded me of a statement, you know, we read in the doctor's opinion about, you know, I can't tell the truth from the false, right? And I see here, like, as I started weaving what I needed to be the truth, like I started weaving this compulsive eating lifestyle, and my reality came to be what I thought it needed to be so that I could continue and feel safe, right? And so it's amazing to me how when I started working these steps and I started seeking, you know, a conscious contact with a power greater than myself, and even today when I come into a situation and I have a very fixed mindset of how I think the situation needs to be. You know, the victim of my disease is the truth, and I'm unable to see it. You know, I have to do inventories. I have to step back and ask my higher power, you know, can you give me an intuitive thought inspiration or decision here? Because I know my fail-safe is to fall back to this construction I made of justifications of what I told myself I needed to feel safe, right? To continue in my compulsive eating. Some of those were like, I have to, you know, I have to always be working to be loved. I have to have people's approval to be loved. I mean, all those things, you know, when the strive to be accepted was so strong, and the strive, you know, to be successful was so strong so I could be accepted and loved. And as I worked this program, I started to find out that I just need to step back and say, I don't know. Higher power, will you help me? And then things just magically work out. They just fall into place. It doesn't take all of my manipulating. It doesn't take all of my striving. It doesn't take all of that. What it takes is me to say, I don't know, and to ask for help, and to work these steps and maintain, you know, contact with my higher power. And I'm so grateful today, because that is way easier than everything else I concocted in my mind. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Kara L. Next up, we have Roz G, followed by Jan L.
Good morning, Stephanie, and thank you for your service. Thanks for everybody's shares. I'm Roz G, compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And I recently completed a fourth step inventory with my current sponsor. And both of us, picked out character defects or behaviors from character defects in the inventory. And one of them was fear, and how I behave from that is status seeking. I'm a status seeker. And I shared a lot about how I needed everybody on Facebook to know that I was getting a doctorate degree, that I was working on an ED. And I put it in all capital letters, you know, so that everybody could see that I'm working on this degree. And to me, that's just so much pride and ego. You know, I didn't see it at the time, but it was, and it is. And I've learned that nobody really cares how many degrees I have. People care about how I treat them and how I behave. And I grew up as the middle child, and I'm not, you know, going to use that as a poor me excuse, but it does have some effects, because I know a lot of middle children, and I've talked with them, and I do feel a little bit validated about how sometimes you can feel like not worthy. And so I turned that around into wanting people, you know, wanting to be noticed, attention seeking. And I did that in 12 step two. Oh my gosh. I did that too. Wanting to share every day, wanting to get my name out there, wanting to sponsor when I really wasn't ready to. Oh, a lot. And through step work and through practicing the opposite behaviors like humility and gratitude and keeping my mouth shut and allowing my actions to speak for me versus my words, I get a lot more positive interactions with people from that. And today I just want to be Roz. I want to be another bozo on the bus. I want to practice humility, as much as I can. And I don't know what else to say, just that I don't want to prove to you or anybody else what I have and what I do. I want you guys to love me for having a sense of humor, for being fun, for being honest, caring, loving, and tolerant. That's really what I want. And pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Roz G. from California. Next up, Jan L., followed by Barbara A.
Good morning, friends. Thank you, Stephanie, and everyone who's doing service on this line. I'm Jan L. from Florida, compulsive eater for many years. Finally recovering. So I love this paragraph because it points out so many of my patterns, which I need to see every day. I need to see truth every day. And many have already described me in talking about their lives. You know, my drive for success, my hard work, my accomplishments, all that external validation I was seeking my entire life. I'm 65 years old. I accomplished a lot. It was all external. I'm lost internal. I'm hiding internal. While I accomplish all this stuff in the home, outside of the home, oh, and get me in a conversation, and my way to communicate is to get it in there really quickly, still do it every day, what I know on the subject. It is so unnatural for me to listen because I need everyone to know what I know so they'll hear me. And then there's the other side of my self-centeredness where I'm the worst person in the world. I'm a loser. All the excuses, I can't, it's too hard, blah, blah, blah. So I'm just like Bill, I'm all or nothing. And in God's transformation of me, which is slow, I'm a slow learner, in there is humility. In there, if I'm trusting God, in communication, in more awareness of him every day, having ongoing conversations with him, pausing, waiting, doing all these things that are completely unnatural that are woven into the steps on how to live this life and have this spiritual awakening. Somewhere in there is the person I want to be, which is observing, listening, patient, tolerant, kind. I don't have that in me. I'm too highly insecure, too highly feeling inadequate or feeling better than and wanting to be validated by everyone by either my accomplishments or them listening to me and thinking I have great ideas. So I'm laughing because it's almost hilarious. And then I've been listening to some podcasts lately, and these folks have been working hard at their recovery program for decades. And they made a lot of progress in these areas, had a lot of awakening in their life, been clean. But then suddenly, by a huge loss in life, they realized that they were not humble. They were putting all their hopes in something else outside of themselves other than God. Thank you. Blessings to all. So grateful for this meeting. Have a wonderful day.
Oh, thank you so much, Jan L. from Florida. Next up, Barbara A., followed by Diane H.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you for your service. This is Barbara A., Central Coast, California. I'm so grateful to read this paragraph with you all, and what really came out when I was reading it was the men of genius conceive their best projects when drunk. And I can relate to that because I was in my own mind all the time. I mean, yeah, sure, in my own mind, my own sick mind, these great ideas would happen, and I would push forth and go after them without any kind of consideration. And if there was anybody saying, hey, wait a minute, I would just, you know, I was so intolerant of other people's opinions and ideas and thoughts about anything. I mean, listening to this group, this vision, this and working the 12 steps, I realized that that was the cure for the recovery for me, was to get outside of my mind, to listen to others, to take others' thoughts and opinions. I even the old belief of what I thought about the word tolerant. This morning I was doing some writing and I was thinking about how I used to define tolerance. And I think I define tolerance in a medical sense, which is your ability to endure the resistance or the action of a drug. That's the medical definition. But I was thinking, oh, my ability to endure pain? Well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be tolerant of pain. And then by the grace of God, I find this new definition that says it's a willingness to tolerate something, in particular, the existence of opinions or behaviors that one does not necessarily agree with. That's what tolerance is. And working this program and doing the steps, not just once, I've heard other people say that they're working the steps now. I'm working the steps again after a year of some really strong recovery. And like people have said, that's how I recover, by continuing to work this program. It's not a check off the list, done, gone, I'm on my way, which is how I handled everything and how I wanted to handle this program for so many years. It is working with others and sharing the passages and the experiences of Bill. I remember my sponsor or someone in one of the podcasts said, the purpose for me reading Bill's story was to see how I related to Bill. How was I like Bill? And I'll tell you, reading through this, there's a lot of things that I was like Bill. Active in my disease of food. And I, one more thing I heard people say in here, and as a nurse, I heard it too. They may not remember your name, but they're always going to remember how you treated them. So this program is helping and developing a process of acceptance, tolerance, love, kindness, sharing, and working the program and sharing this recovery with others. So thank you for letting me share. And I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Barbara A. from California. And next up, we've got Diane H. from Alabama.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Diane H. In Alabama. Just moved from Florida. Very grateful, compulsive overeater. And by the grace of God, I could have done nothing and none of this without working my program. I just made a real wild move and just stepped out on the faith that I have grown in into this program. And working the steps, living the steps. I see what I got out of what was read. I went in the opposite direction. Why bother to compete? I'm going to fail anyway. Just taking that failure mentality, I can't do it anyway. So I was no competition for anyone. And that's how I live my life. You know, whatever you want to do is okay. It's all right with me. Underachiever, not living up to my potential in any way. And by the grace of God, I found OA, you know, like 300 pounds or so. Almost, you know. And it has kept me alive. I found it young, while I was still young. You know, I came out of a diet program. My older sister took me to a diet program at 18 and lost the weight and then gained it back and doubled. And I ended up in these rooms, in those big rooms with all those people, you know, like a large auditoriums or wherever. And man, I just thank God that I found the program and that I'm abstinent today and following a sponsor after being in a program over 30 years, you know, still looking to the program as what is what's my help to live this life in this world, you know, following my beliefs, my religious and spiritual beliefs. This program lines up with it, you know. It's nothing to take away. It's only to add, to make my life more beneficial, more abundant, and just, wow, I'm living a life I couldn't even believe. Thank you for allowing me to share. My name is Diane H. from Alabama.
Well, thank you so much, Diane H., again from Alabama. And if you're just joining us, let me fill you in on where we are this morning. We're in Bill's story. We're on page 2, We read the first full paragraph beginning with, I took a night law course, ending with, constructions of philosophic thought were so derived. We read just that one paragraph this morning. And who would like to share? Please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Sherry Z. Annabelle? From California.
I've got Sherry Z. I heard Annabelle.
Annabelle Z from Washington.
Thank you, Annabelle. And do we have anyone else who wants to share?
Dina A., New Jersey.
Was that Dina A.?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Sherry M.?
Got you, Sherry. And anybody else to get in on this round? Okay. I've got Sherry Z., Annabelle Z., Dina A., and Sherry M. And Sherry Z., you're up, followed by Annabelle Z.
Good morning, visionaries. Thank you, everyone, for your service. I'm Sherry Z., recovered in Southern California. And thank you for the lead share. I really heard that getting my value from external validation was my personal purpose. My purpose was not, as the big book said, to serve others. My purpose was to get value for external validation, and that meant having to be perfect in everything I did. So I, too, was an overachiever. And what I loved about yesterday's paragraph is that Bill said he fancied himself a leader, and someone said, ironically, what he fancied himself a leader in was Wall Street and money and power, and he became one of these legendary leaders. He's the legendary leader of this movement that has served and helped so many people. So it tells me this morning in the big book, like, where I'm seeking value and external validation is when I'm doing that, I'm not in alignment with God. God has God's plans for me. And my job is to, my sole purpose is to serve others. And that was not my sole purpose for so many years. It just wasn't. And I couldn't figure out why I was constantly fighting with the food and my body. And because I wasn't working with God, I was telling God what was supposed to be. So for today, my sole purpose is, as the big book says, is to serve others. And it allows me to live free. And my sponsor, when I first started, said to me, how free do you want to be? And I know she's on this line. And I couldn't even conceive of what she was asking. And today I understand that. I want to be completely free, free of seeking all that validation and perfection and everyone loving me and affirming me. I want to be free of everything. And it begins with the food. So thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much. Sherry Z from California. Next up, Annabelle Z, followed by Dina M.
Good morning. This is Annabelle Z in Washington State. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater and bulimic and restrictor. And this paragraph. I relate so much to Bill. I could just go through every line. The desire to achieve and to feel valued and everything everyone said so far. People used to call me an overachiever, and I was so into my head that I'm like, no, I don't overachieve. You just underachieve. I had just so much ego. It was insane. I was on the early morning meeting this morning, and someone was describing that it's not about the ego. We all have a self. It's about egotistical or egoism or what they call it, egocentric, you know, and that's really just self-centeredness. And it talks later in the book in How It Works about, you know, self-centeredness is like just thinking about ourselves. That's all we think about. And so even if we're in self-pity, which I have given you a dose of self-pity in the last couple of months, and I'm out of my self-pity, and self-pity is just another form of egocentric thought because, you know, if I think I'm great or I think I'm horrible or life is horrible and poor me, it's still just thinking about me. And that's just what Bill was doing. He was thinking about how I can achieve and how I could, I've arrived and I'm going to show the world I'm important. The drive for success was just about how you see me and or how you know they saw him. And it went to manipulating his wife even. You know, I manipulated everybody to make it look like I was great. And then, but not too great, because then you think I was egocentric. You know, I mean, I really thought I was balancing people's opinions of me all the time. And being in recovery is learning to be other-centered and caring more about others and focusing on others. And I'm just so grateful for everyone on the line. Those of you who have long-term recovery and are recovered from hopelessness, as well as being free, completely free. And I'm also so grateful for, you know, those of us who stick with it on the line and share our experience, even if we're still in that self-pity and that fear. And, you know, we can't put the food down and we can't seem to get what everybody else has. You know, your being here is being of service. And when I get out of myself and I just think, what can I do for someone else? You know, something switched in me a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, I'm still in the same place I'm at. I'm still taking these horrible drugs. I still have the same side effects. It's just different because now I can show a different attitude of gratitude for the drugs, gratitude for my husband caring for me, and just wanting to serve them. How can I best serve the nurses? How can I best serve my husband? And sometimes it's just by being kind and patient and telling them how much I appreciate them. And that's just recovery for me. So that's all I have. Thanks for being on the line. Thanks for your service, Stephanie.
Oh, thank you so much, Annabelle Z from Washington. Next up, Dina A, followed by Sherry M.
Hi, good morning. Dina A from New Jersey. Not really sure what to share today. I just came on live, and as somebody says on the line, I love it when I hear people say, like, higher power told me to share, so here I go. I totally identify in with Bill, with his grandiosity and proving to the world and proving to himself, which was always for me about proving to myself. So I didn't have language for that. I didn't know I was proving it to myself, that I'm amazing and that I can achieve. I can be smart. I could get great marks. I could accomplish my goals, build a family, and always trying to prove to myself that I'm worthy. And how everything that comes in the way of that cannot be deciphered as a message. His wife being upset about his drinking, and he'll just come in and steamroll through that and explain to her and to himself, this is what I always did, explain that rationalization to myself, really believing it, really believing my own stories for myself. So while I'm hearing and learning in programs to be other-centered, I'm also learning something else, which is to be more centered inside myself, which is really listening to the voice of my God that's in me. So the other way of living, of trying to prove myself to everybody and having to look a certain way, which is always that flip coin, double-sided coin of shame and grandiosity, they're both the same thing. You know, if I'm giving myself allocates for doing something really great, and on that grandiosity side of the coin, I'm really just feeding the shame monster. It's the same thing for me. So for today, learning how to live centered deeper inside of myself, inside the voice of my higher power that's in me, inside of acceptance for myself, which is a slow process that I've been busy with for 12 years of recovery. And today it's okay that I am not there yet, but it's good to look at Bill's story and hear where I was and where I'm going. And so thank you all so much for being here. Pass.
Well, thank you so much, Gina A. from New Jersey. Next, we've got Sherry M.
Good morning. Hi, everyone. My name is Sherry M., and I am a compulsive overeater, gratefully recovered today by God's grace and mercy, and one day at a time, never cured. Thank you so much, Stephanie, for leading the meeting. And I heard a lot of different things about this paragraph, and I was thinking about, you know, just looking for outside accolades and I was thinking, I don't really identify completely about, I really feel like Bill was just using that alcohol, right, for his liquid courage. You know, at some point it turned on him. He wasn't able to complete the course because, you know, while, you know, having a couple drinks gives courage or a couple bites gives the courage, at some point he crossed the line and then was unable to show up. And I remember that I had a lot of potential, right? People would say, such potential. I did really well in school, but, you know, I would come to class. My compulsive overeating and drinking took off, you know, about 12, 13 years old. So by the time I'm in high school, I am coming to class drunk and having to leave and throwing up in the bin, and I'm not able to pass the course, right? And then the compulsive overeating is taking its toll, which is making me shut down and not wanting to accomplish anything and being double winner and being in both programs. The alcohol would give me some great ideas and this idea of grandiosity, but then once I started eating compulsively, it would just dissipate because all I want, then I was just isolated in my house with no energy, lethargy, not able to accomplish anything. And I would say that just cut to, you know, 20 years of living a sober life, I have gone back to school and been in the front of the class and a straight A student and been able to show up on time, half an hour early for every class, asking questions, participating, and the courage that I was looking for in food to accomplish anything, I get from my higher power now and from the steps. So being able to walk through, you know, I used to be able to not make sales calls without having a package of cookies in my car and having to eat like a sleeve of Thin Mints before I went and knocked on a door. I don't have to do that today. I actually can just pick up the phone and strike up conversation and have community with someone. I'm not looking to get anything. I work for God. That's what I've learned. I have learned in step three that God is my employer, and whatever God wants me to go, whatever income God is going to give me, I'm going to be okay with, because the ticket price to freedom of being recovered today is literally saying, God, take my life, and whatever you do with it, I'm going to be okay with that, because that's better than the life I was living, which was stuffing my face and gaining all this weight and being a miserable person living each day to die with my substances. So today, God, I'll take whatever you have. So I don't have big ideas of grandiosity. I have ideas of what I think my life should be and what career maybe I can do and trying to recreate myself in my 50s. But ultimately, if there are a bunch of red stop signs, then I have to change gears and go, okay, maybe God doesn't want that for me. And that's my time. And I wrap up. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Sherry M. from Wyoming. We have time for probably two more shares. Who would like to share? Please give your first name and last initial and where you're from.
O-H.
Gotcha, Mo.
My name's Alice from North Carolina. I'd love to share.
And I've got you, Alice. And what's your last initial, Alice?
It's Alice H.
H. Okay, gotcha. All right. We'll stop there. I've got Mo H followed by Alice H. And Mo, you're up.
Oh, good morning, Stephanie. Mo H here from Northern California. I was trying to get in on one of the lineups, and my phone itself was muted. Saying my name, nobody was hearing me. But I kept working at it. Anyway, about this paragraph, yeah, a lot of eyes in this paragraph. Bill is in his own world. There's a lot of eyes in his story. You know, it's all about Bill. It's all about Bill. When I was young growing up, I was a dancer with my brother. We were a team, and it was all about us and applause, you know, and everybody liking us and, you know, us being the best dancers and winning awards and et cetera, you know. And I craved that then for the rest of my life. And what happened as an adult is, having a lot of children, I ended up doing a lot of volunteering. So I was looking for accolades in the volunteering, like Bill was looking for them, you know, in his studies and everything. But as I was in that, my disease was growing, and I didn't realize it at the time. But I used food to help me walk through difficult situations. I used food to help me study. I used food you know, when I was angry with the kids and, you know, I'd use food, I'd go eat, and I thought I deserved it, you know. And, you know, and he says this is the start of his disease here, potential alcoholic that I was. Well, I never even heard the word compulsive eater, compulsive overeater until I got into the rooms. You know, I just heard when I was growing up, fat, you're fat. You know, you need to lose weight. And there wasn't a lot of diets there that many years ago. But, you know, my mother would find one and, you know, give it to me to get, you know, going. And I would do really good for a while and then fall off the diet program. So, yeah, and then justification. I justified my food because I was taller than my mother. I was big boned. I had muscles because I was a dancer and all of that. And I justified. And I wasn't an honest person, right? You know, who took this? You know, not me. I would say not me. And, you know, Bill here with his wife, you know, honesty goes out the window. He's lying to his wife that he is going to, he's going to get better, you know, and I would think that same thought too, that I was going to get better. And I would say that, but I wouldn't tell anybody I was going on a diet. I would just kind of do it on the sly. But anyway, this is all about me learning about me through Bill. But thank you very much. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Mo H. And next we've got Alice H. And you've got 2 minutes, Alice.
Oh, thanks. My name's Alice H. and I'm a grateful recovered food addict from North Carolina. I really appreciate you guys, and I've enjoyed listening this morning. And I just could relate when about, you know, looking for value right outside of my higher power, and that struggle with self-pity. I had foot surgery about 3 months ago. And then I have to have another procedure next week. And I fell down my steps this morning when I was on a Zoom meeting. And now I've either broken or bruised my tailbone, and just struggling with feeling like, am I going to be able to get back to my normal activities? So it was just great, great to hear this paragraph and to be reminded that, you know, my primary purpose is to be of maximum service to God and my fellows. And I don't know why certain things are happening, but I can trust my higher power, and I can rely on the fellowship. So I just, yeah, guess I'm going to be listening to a lot of meetings. So anyway, thanks, and I pass.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Alice H., and get better soon. And that perfect timing brings us right to 12 minutes till. All righty. So we're now going to close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Kara L., will you please read A Vision for You?
Sure. Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with
you. Oh, Kara, we lost you. We can't hear you, Kara. For some reason. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can be heard.
Yes, you can.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we lost you, Kara. I'm just going to get...
Okay, I got muted, but I'm here.
Oh, Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay. I don't know where you lost me.
Oh, just start wherever the Spirit calls you to.
Okay. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.